Round of applause for Deacon Mike. 2 weekends in a row with long gospels. Well done. Susan was 18 years old. She was riding down the street on her bicycle, heading to her summer work. And out of nowhere, a truck came along and hit her on her bicycle, sent her flying through the air. She survived the accident, but she had hit her head very hard against the pavement. And upon further examination, there was brain damage that had taken place from this accident. In the subsequent weeks that followed, she began to realize what that brain damage really entailed. Everything else worked fine, she was great, except it had damaged the part of her brain that could decipher words on the page. She began to realize that she could read a little bit, like she kind of knew basic words, but even that was difficult to decipher. Her brain just would jumble everything up. So reading a book, reading a novel or a textbook, just became impossible for her. Now, this was particularly bad because she had just graduated high school, full marks, and had scholarships to go off to college, to continue her education. Well, now, that seemed like an impossibility. Not able to read, not able to follow what the classwork would be, not able to write. She gave up on those dreams. She stayed with her regular job that she was doing and just kind of felt like that was going to be all her life would amount to. But even then, she still had this great thirst, this hunger for knowledge. She was a very bright, intelligent young woman, and even though now reading was extremely difficult, she still valued an education. She still wanted to learn. So a friend of hers recommended that she start attending night classes, adult classes, at the local community college. Now, at first, she was just like, well, what good is that going to do? I still can't read. But the friend was like, well, there's nothing wrong with you just going and sitting in on those classes and just listening, just to soak in what information is being given out by the teacher. So she did. She went to the local community college. And this, to me, it has the smack of God to it. She goes down the hallway, and she has no agenda. She has no class in particular that she wants to attend. She just wants to take advantage of what's being offered there. So she enters into one classroom at random, just goes through the door. And she realized she had walked into what, at that point in time, was a very odd class. In the front of the classroom was a professor, a man who was standing there, and he was making gestures with his hands. He was painting pictures in the air. And she watched as he did this, you know, and was mesmerized by what he was doing with his hands. And she could almost like intuit and see what the pictures were that he was doing, and then they would disappear when he stopped. So she went in, she sat down, and she watched as he did sign language, which at the time was kind of a new thing being taught at the college level. And she realized that the part of her brain that had been damaged and couldn't read as well now could actually engage the visual at a much higher level. She just kind of grasped this at kind of a natural level, and she fell in love with it. She became fluent in sign language over the subsequent months. She found her calling life, that she was meant to be there to help adults who were deaf and could not speak for themselves, could not hear what others were saying. She particularly enjoyed working with adults, these individuals who had been born deaf and just never learned how to communicate using sign. And so Susan found her niche. She found her calling in life. Now, this is where the story gets a little weird. She was teaching this classroom full of adults sign language. And in that semester, there was a new student, and he would just hang out in the back of the class. He was a young man, 27 years old. And the rest of the class, you know, she would teach them a sign, and they would respond back with the subsequent sign, you know, and that's kind of how the education process went. But not this young man. He sat in the back of the class with his arms folded, and he just sat there. He didn't sign back. He didn't participate in what was going on. She came to find out that this was the nephew of a wealthy man in the community who would just drop him off every day at this classroom, hoping that he might get something out of it, So after class one day, she goes up to the young man and she signs to him, "Hello, my name is Susan." And he signs right back at her, "Hello, my name is Susan." She's just like, "No, no, my name is Susan. What's your name?" He signs right back, "No, no, my name is Susan. What's your name?" Now, at this point, she was getting a little frustrated. She was like, okay, he's just a class clown. You know, he's just going to repeat everything I'm doing. Like, we're not going to get anywhere with this young man. But she began to realize that wasn't the case. This young man had intelligence to him. She could just sense that he was an intelligent young man. But for whatever reason, he had been born deaf, and she realized he had spent his entire life not realizing that there was even such a thing as sound. That he had no idea that there was even a thing called language, that people could communicate using symbols and words to name things. He was completely ignorant of this entire world. He just kind of assumed that people would communicate what needed to be done, very practical things, by moving their lips at each other, and somehow could decipher what the other person was symbolizing to them. And he would try to read lips, but he didn't know words existed. And so to him, he just felt he was just stupid. That he was the only person in the whole world that didn't get this concept of what people were doing. He just couldn't wrap his mind around. He didn't know that words were real. And in realizing this, she tried to convey this to him. So she picked up a book and she signed the word for book and said, you know, this is a book. Well, the sign language for book is this, you know, opening a book. So he would run to the bookshelf, grab a book off the shelf, and just hand it to her. He didn't realize that this had a name. He thought that she was asking for a book. And so on and on they went. You know, she would explain what a door was. And he wasn't getting it. And he was just very confused and frustrated. There were days that she was convinced he wasn't going to show up to class. This went on for weeks, that he just couldn't wrap his mind around this new idea. He was so ingrained in his worldview, how the world worked, that he just couldn't grasp it. Finally, Susan had the revelation that she was going to try a different technique. Instead of paying attention to this young man, she would sit down in front of him, and there'd be an empty chair in front of her, as if there was an imaginary student there. And she would take like a cat, you know, and she'd pet the cat, and then she would sign the word for cat. And then she would put the cat down, she'd walk over to the empty chair, she would sit down in that chair, and then pretend to be the student. And she'd kind of, "Oh, cat," you know, have this aha moment, and then she would sign cat, you know, and then she'd go over to the teacher and be like, "That's right, cat." And this young man watched this and was very confused. Like, what was going on? Why was she getting up out of her chair, going to this other chair, sitting down, acting like this other person? He thought that she was crazy. And this went on for weeks. And then one day it happened. He sat down and he watched her get up from her chair and go to the other chair and, you know, have this aha moment and sign it. And it just clicked that day. That day, for some reason, he began to realize that things had names. And so he couldn't help himself. He ran to the bookcase, and he grabbed a book, and he kind of pointed at it, and she signed book, you know. And then he ran to the door, and he grabbed the door, and he's just like, "What is this?" You know, and she signed door. He pointed to the desk and the table and the chalkboard and everything in the room, and she was signing like crazy, explaining that these things have names. They have a title to them. There's this whole world that opened up to his mind that he didn't even believe in. It wasn't even on his furthest imaginings that these things existed. Words, language, the ability to symbolize things. And then he pointed to himself. And Susan realized in all this time she never learned the young man's name. So she had to just shrug. And he wept. It was such an overwhelming concept to him that he just wept. At some level, I think that's what's going on in today's gospel on a multiple levels. Yes, I think it's true in a physical way for our man born blind. I can't even imagine what that would be like, going through life being born that way, not being able to see. Someone would describe to you colors and you'd have no reference. You have no way of knowing what a color was. Or it meant that something could be light or dark. All that would just be, it would be nonsensical. There'd be a whole world that you just wouldn't even know existed. Until something like this happened, until a man comes along and smears mud on your face, and suddenly you're able to see. Suddenly that world becomes real. Everything that everyone's talking about suddenly is accessible to you. But I think it goes deeper than that in today's gospel. And it should go deeper for us as well. Is it so hard to imagine that if we talk about these things on our level, language, eyesight, light and dark, these things that we're very familiar with, that is denied to some people, is it so hard to imagine that maybe, just maybe, for us even, who have all of our faculties, that there may be a world that we're unaware of? That there may be another dimension of our faith that is just beyond us. And then in today's gospel, at some level, Christ, he's trying to convey this not only to the blind man, but to the Pharisees. He's trying to say that there's a whole world of God's love and mercy that you're just not getting. That you're just stuck in your little world that you've created. And you're just built into that, and you just deny that anything else could even exist. And so he does this miracle. He cures this blind man, and it's like the Pharisees just can't get it, right? So the blind man shows up, and they say to him, "How are you healed? How are you able to see?" And he's just like, "I don't know. This man showed up, smeared some mud on my face. I went to the Pool of Siloam. I can see." The Pharisees are like, "Oh, no, that can't be the case. You must not have been born blind, right? That has to be the explanation." So we call his parents in. And we talk to them, and they're like, is this your annoying son? And they're like, yes, that's our annoying son. Was he born blind? Yes, he was. No, we can't accept that. So then they pull the blind man in a second time. And they're like, tell us again, how are you able to see? And he's just like, I've already told you, and you're not listening. There's this man, Jesus Christ, who has to be a prophet. He has to be of God. And they just can't get it. They're the ones that are blind. They're the ones that are deaf and can't hear this. They're the ones that can't even begin to imagine how good our God really is. For us then, that's the calling. To challenge our assumptions, to break free of this world that we just live in and day out, to try to even imagine at some level what awaits us. What world, what other dimensions of God exist that we haven't even started to comprehend? What languages God uses that speaks to our hearts and we're not hearing it? The signs that he puts right in front of our faces day in and day out, and we miss it. We're blind to them. Because if we at least are aware that that can be there, that that reality could exist, then maybe we'll have that aha moment. It may take weeks, months, years, who knows? But when it happens, suddenly we join all these great saints who have gone before us that have had that same aha moment, that have seen something beyond, and it is life-changing. It calls us out of ourselves to something beautiful. But we can't be like the Pharisees. We cannot be stuck. We have to be like the man born blind that at least is open to that possibility. And if we're at least open, then when on that day our Lord comes to us and he says to us, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" We, like the blind man, can say, "Yes. Yes, we do." And then we will finally be set free. And so let us today and every day ask for those graces. Be open to the Word of God speaking to our hearts that we may finally see it, that we may finally know just how big God's love is for us. Amen.
Amen.